Thank everybody for joining us on the internet this morning. I pray that some way, somehow, you get blessed through this message this morning. So for those of you that don't make it on Wednesday night, we had just came back from our trip, and it was my first time back in the pulpit since we'd been gone, and through the course of the trip, the Lord was dealing with me in some areas of my life. How many of you are just completely satisfied with where you are in the Lord right now? God is you know, He's brought you to the place where you're just good. Golden. Well, I'll tell you something. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. And sometimes the process isn't much fun. I've had to deal with some issues in my life. How many of you know your pastor has issues? Thank you for your honesty. George, that's enough. I have issues. And what I've learned is carrying a grudge, unforgiveness, the Bible defines it as ought. Ought. If you have ought against your brother. How many letters are in the word ought? Anybody know? O-U-G-H-T. Ought. Ought. Five letters. That's a small section of the dictionary. Or of the alphabet, but the implication of that word is huge. And I've learned, or I am, let me just put it this way, I'm learning, I'm trying to learn, Ray, that it's not an easy process, but when the Lord begins to work in your life, the pain that is involved with it will bring healing in the aftermath. So I want to talk to you about when you pray. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing. That we are to pray always. And I have a hunch that we don't do that. And when we do that, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just want to lay some foundation for this, because on Wednesday night, when we looked at this, I've revamped it, and it's not going to sound exactly the same as what it did on Wednesday night. But on Wednesday night, we were challenged, and I challenged the body, that when we pray, we've got to make sure that we don't harbor a bitterness and unforgiveness and those kinds of things in our life. And it can look a lot. I mean, we try and pretty it up. Huh? Well, I don't have unforgiveness toward you, Rich. I just don't like you. You know? And so we begin to try and color it and make it look all like it's okay, but the root of that whole thing is unforgiveness. And the Lord's calling us to pull up some roots. He's calling us to check ourselves, and so we've been going through this study on worship, and we were specifically looking at on Wednesday night at the blessings of God on His worshipers, in that He answers the prayers of those who pray in sincere faith. But what we learned through that process is you can't pray in sincere faith if you have bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in your heart. Turn with me this morning, if you will, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, go to verse 22. Chuck, it's good to have you and Wendy and your family with us today. It's been a long time. These kids are making old people out of us. Mark chapter 11. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Father, I just ask right now that you would anoint me to preach your word. God, that you would anoint your people to receive your word. Not from me, God. I'm just a chunk of clay this morning. But I pray that as your anointing rests on me and your anointing rests on your people, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can communicate through me to your people, and we'll leave this place having a revelation of your word and revival in our spirit, God, that you are doing something in every one of our lives. And so for that, Lord, I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You know what? There's a lot of books out there, folks, on teachings on positive mental attitude. If you just have a positive mental attitude, whatever it is that you want, if you have this positive mental attitude, it can come to pass. And there's teachings on that, and there's name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that that isn't how it works. God will answer your prayer, but He will not be answering your prayer as a result of your positive mental attitude. And specifically this morning, I want for us to walk through and look at four key conditions that have to be met if you want your prayers to be answered. Now this is important. If you're a note taker, you need to take notes. I did my best to try and get the key points up for the overhead. But listen, if you can write it down, you can memorize it. But if you don't apply it, hey, is this working? If you don't apply it to your life, it's not going to bring the change necessary. Number one. You must be a believer. If you want your prayers to be answered, folks, you must be a believer. And in our text, Jesus is speaking to the church. He's speaking more specifically to His disciples. He's speaking to you and I this morning. The only prayer that Jesus is going to answer for the unsaved is the prayer of salvation. Amen? That's the only one. Because you have to be a believer. I was on our vacation. I was talking with a young man that I dedicated to the Lord when he was just a little bitty guy when we were in Utah. And I mean, he was just a tiny guy. And I remember dedicating him to the Lord. And when I dedicated children to the Lord, I always wrote a letter to that person, to that child. I wrote him a letter and I said all kinds of different things as I felt the Spirit led me to write. And I gave it to mom and dad. And I said, listen, on their 18th 18th birthday, give them this letter and from me to them, and don't let them open it until then. And on our trip, I'd never heard anything from anybody about any of the letters that I had ever written to any of the children that I had dedicated to the Lord. And the first thing this young man said is, he goes, "Hey, my mom gave me the letter that you wrote me when I turned 18. And I said, "Well, I want to hear about that. I want to know how did that impact your life? How did that?" And he said, "Well, I've got a lot of questions." I said, "Well, I'm here to answer them." And he said, "You know, the last 3 years of my life has been not good. It's been rough. There's been a lot of ups and downs." And I said, "Well, that happens in everybody's life." And I said, "The first thing you need to be sure of is that you're saved." He goes, "Well, I believe in God." I said, "Yeah, so does the devil." And he looked at me, you know, like a mule staring at a new gate kind of deal. And he goes, "I never thought of that." And I said, "Yeah, there's a big difference between knowing about God and having a relationship with Him." And so the conversation just went on and on and on. And I said, "Listen, you got to get saved. Number two, you must not hold a grudge against another person." And I've had to deal with that. You know what? I'm afraid that there's probably other people. There might even be people in this room this morning that in some way, somehow, I have carried some level of a grudge against those people. And if we want our prayers to be answered, we have to deal with those kinds of things. Specifically, you cannot hold a grudge against another person. In verse 25, it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you all your trespasses as well." That's what it says. So forgiving others is tough work. When you forgive somebody, what does that mean? And I've heard this, and I've probably even said it. "Well, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm not ever going to have anything else to do with them again, ever." How many of you are with me on that one? That ain't the way it works. Yeah. Yeah, but do you really love them? Because if we really love them, listen, you're going to have to go through the same thing I had to go through. So there. Because I'm all good. I'm good with loving them from a distance. You know why? Because out of sight, out of mind. I don't have to deal with them. Lord, I just love your people as long as they're way over there. But how are you going to respond and how are you going to react when they're right there? Because I had to deal with that this on my vacation. Because they were right. In fact, they were this close. I like that song. That's kind of a nice song. Can I just tell you, your pastor did not do well. I flunked. I failed miserably. Because you... Come here, Larry. Come here. Come here, Larry. Come here, Larry. Come here. Hey, I'll do the preaching, all right? You can do this all you want. But if there ain't nothing in there, it's just like hugging an ice cube. And I was the ice cube. And the Lord dealt with me. Let me change that. The Lord is dealing with me because it ain't over. And I don't like it. But what I like and what I want are two different things. And I want for this body to grow. And I want for this body to be healthy. And I want for this body to be a place where you can bring people and come into this place and know that those folks that are in charge, whether it's me or Mike or Glenn or Bob or whoever it is, that those people are right with the Lord. Because we can have a form of godliness but deny, the Bible said, the power. Hello? So forgiving one another is tough work. And in fact, so much so that many people would rather do anything than offer forgiveness to somebody that wronged them. Well, I just hope they just burn in hell. I've heard that. You need to forgive that person. No, I forgive them, but I hope they burn in hell. That's love magnified. You know what I said when I heard that? If they burn in hell, you'll probably be frying right beside them. Well, what do you mean? What I mean is, it says that if you forgive, God will forgive you. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may forgive you. The implication is, if you're not forgiving, you're not going to be forgiven. Well, that sounds like religion. No, that's relationship. For the person to pray while bearing and carrying a grudge is like a tree that sprouts leaves and doesn't bear any fruit. Looks good, just doesn't have much value. Look at this. Number one, true faith changes your heart. True faith changes your heart. I didn't think I was a hard-hearted person until the Lord started working with me. Now I'm getting these faces that keep popping up in front of me. What about this person? We're all right. What about that one? Man. You know, what are the chances of me ever seeing them again? Pretty good. You know why I say pretty good? Because the Lord's really good at arranging meetings to help you along your journey. That's the whole idea, folks, behind being born again. Behind getting saved, behind beginning being a new believer, I have a heart change. And I've said this as long as I've been in ministry, there's a lot of people that are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. That's the distance between your head and your heart. You can know all about Jesus, but if you don't apply what you know to your heart, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. True faith changes the heart. Real prayer dismantles pride. Anybody dealing with pride in their life at all? Anybody? Just the pastor. Real prayer dismantles pride and vengeance. You ever wanted to get even? Anybody? You guys can all leave because apparently this message is all for me. Real prayer dismantles pride and vengeance, filling the holes with love. So, how are we then supposed to love? We're supposed to love as Christ loved us, right? So I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to forgive you as long as you stay far away. That way I can say that I love you, but I don't have to demonstrate it. God demonstrated His love for you and I by sending His Son to the cross. The Bible says, you know, right after we picked sides and got on His side, that's when that all happened. Right? When it started was when we were still His enemies. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, you're whosoever, I'm whosoever, believes in Him. Christ didn't come to this world to condemn the world. You know why? The world was already condemned. He didn't come to bring condemnation. He came to bring an answer. He came to bring a way. He came to help us, Ray, in our struggles. Listen, it is never fun. I have not had any fun in that respect, Tammy. Our vacation was, for me, not fun. And I know it wasn't fun for you because your husband had to deal with some things in his life that not only affects his husband, somebody shoot me right now. Woo! Her husband. Amen? Lord. Because what I do doesn't only affect me. It affects her. And what affects me, affects her, affects you. And so we've got to be where we need to be. That's what I said on Wednesday night. My prayer is that one day, that church, I would become the pastor that you think I am. Because you've told me how great you think I am. But I'm going to tell you, I put these pants on one leg at a time. I put my boots on one foot at a time. I'm just as apt and maybe even a little more apt than most of you to screw it up. And I've demonstrated that in my life. I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you, I'm not on some pedestal, and don't put me on a pedestal. Real prayer dismantles pride and vengeance, and it fills the holes with love. The third one is real faith seeks peace. Real faith seeks peace. You have aught against your brother? Yeah. All I got to do is forgive him. Well, is that all? No, because God said in His Word, this didn't come from His Word, but it's implied in His Word that real faith seeks peace. Jesus Christ came to this earth for what reason, folks? To restore a relationship. To reconcile. You hear what I'm saying, Ron? To reconcile. You're not reconciled if you say, well, I forgive my brother and I call my brother and I ask him to forgive me, and so now everything's good. You have to understand that that's just the beginning. That's just like kicking the rock out from under the big rock. And now that big rock is rolling downhill. It's much more than just saying, hey, I forgive my brother. There's a restoration that God wants to see happen in your life and in my life. And as that happens, you and I will be way more the men and women that God has called us to be than we are right now. It's what will cause our church to bust out in revival. And for our churches to have prayer power, there must be harmony and forgiveness that is evident in the body of believers. So let go of hurts. Anybody ever been hurt by somebody? Anybody still hanging on to it? I'm not saying, folks, that it's going to be easy, but you've got to get on your face before God and you've got to begin to say, God, would you help me with this? Because I've got to turn it loose. I don't know where it is, but I know this much. I saw it on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. So it's gospel. Marlon Perkins said so. You know how they catch them monkeys? They take a coconut and they put an eye bolt in one end of the coconut and they hook a chain on the eye bolt on the coconut. And they tie the coconut, they chain it to the tree, and they put some little shiny little trinket inside there. Some little something that's just shiny. And the little monkeys come along, and there's a hole drilled in that hand. And it's just a little bitty hole. And he can just stick his little hand inside that hole. And when he gets a hold of that little trinket that's inside of it, man, he's so happy. But now he's got the trinket in his hand, and now his hand's bigger than the hole, and he wants the trinket so bad that he will not turn it loose, and by not turning it loose, he is caught. And he's put in bondage. Think about that. Folks, Tammy and I have discussed this a lot. Mike and I have discussed this a lot. If you don't turn loose of that thing, you're in bondage. And you're never going to have the freedom that God wants you and I to have in our life. And I'm learning that I've got some stuff inside of me that I'm hanging on to, and I'm in bondage because I won't or can't turn it loose. Listen, I'm just trying to help you today. I'm just trying to give you some keys. True faith changes the heart. Real prayer dismantles pride, and vengeance fills the holes with love. Real faith seeks peace. Let go of your hurts. Abandon the grudges that you hold and forgive others. I mean, forgive them with your whole heart. Forgive them. Do you know how hard that's going to be? Do you know what that person did? No, I don't, but I know what Jesus did. I really thought this message was going to be a lot more fun to preach than it is. Why does this all matter? Why does it matter? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because all people are sinners before God. Those of us that have access to Him only have it because His mercy and forgiveness of our sins. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, I can come boldly into the throne room of Almighty God anytime I want to. You ever blown it? As soon as you say, well, I need to pray and ask God to forgive me, the enemy says, you know what? He don't want to hear your stuff. You have said that before. He don't want to hear it again. Here's a sign. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He does want to hear it again. He wants to hear it over and over and over until you get it right. Believers should not come to God asking for forgiveness and making requests all the time while refusing to forgive others. You see, to do so would reveal that we have no appreciation, really, for the mercy that God's given you and I. When you recognize what God has done for you, frankly, I don't know why I'm still alive. He should have killed me a long time ago, in my opinion. But maybe it's because I refuse to give up. When the man of God says, you know what, you've sinned so bad, so often, and so many times that the devil has your head mounted on his wall as a trophy and there's no hope for you. And I believed it. And so I began to live that way. I thought, well, hey, if there ain't no hope for me, I'd as well live it up while I'm here. The problem was, there was something going on in here that I could not get rid of. I could not shut up. I could not make it stop. I kept having this sensation, this unction that the Bible calls it, of the Holy Spirit of God inside. And He just kept saying, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent. Well, the man of God said, there's no hope. Well, I'm not the man of God. I'm the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, you need to repent. And I repented, and because of it, you're stuck with me today. Because I just refused to give up. Remember what I said when I started Psalm chapter 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. The Lord has ordered your steps and mine, folks. We have to walk in order for Him to order the steps. Don't refuse to forgive others. You want freedom in your life? Begin to pray and ask God, who am I holding aught against in my life? Because whoever that is stopping the flow of God in your life. So, God's not going to listen to a person with an unforgiving attitude, with an attitude of lack of appreciation for the mercy that God has given us. And if we're that person, God's not going to listen to that person with that attitude. See, God wants those who are forgiven to forgive others. How does the Bible say we will be known as Christians? Because we come to this church? Because we wear a cross around our neck? Maybe we've got Jesus tattooed on our arm. How is the world going to know that I'm a child of the Most High God? It's not even sharing the word. Because any heathen from hell can share the word. The devil shared the word with Jesus. So we can't say it's sharing the world. The Bible says it very plainly. We will be known by our love one for another. How many of you know Jesus' love for you and I is unconditional? It's without condition. He loves you based on what He did on the cross, not on your performance on the earth. Pardon me? No, He can't. That's why we have to that's what I'm preaching about right now. Because unforgiveness and carrying grudges is part of sin. It's a barrier. It's a separation. Number three, I'm trying to go. Not doing good, but I'm trying. We must not pray with selfish motives. I have never done that. Sharon, settle down. We must not pray with selfish motives. Have you ever prayed with selfish motives? Three of us. Awesome. Thank you for your honesty, sweetheart. We cannot pray with selfish motives. We like to hear that we can have anything. Well, if you pray the prayer of faith, God's going to answer that prayer. Until He doesn't answer it. Except He does answer it, but here's the problem. Sometimes He says no. I'm pretty glad He says no sometimes. Amen. We like to hear that we can have anything, but Jesus prayed with God's interest in mind. Of all the people you know, who's the one person that you would think would be the absolute least likely to get their prayer answered? Jesus. Well, surely Jesus got all of his prayers answered. He's the Son of God. He's part of the Trinity. He's a member of the triune Godhead. Except, he did not get one prayer answered to his request. Remember when he was in the garden? He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. His prayer was, remove this cup from me. And his father said, no. And I'm pretty glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. See, when we pray, we can express our desires, but we should want his will above our will. Amen? Check yourself this morning. See if your prayers focus on your interests or on God's interests. Now I've gone to meddling. Check yourself. Listen. I could write you a list of things that I want. I want to go moose hunting with Jim Shockey. I want to go elk hunting with Michael Waddell. If you don't watch the Hunting Channel, what I'm saying doesn't mean anything. I want a great big branch bull to hang on my wall. Right, Mark? Hallelujah. Kill your own. If that's all I seek, I might even attain those things. But what eternal value is that going to have? More than anything in my life, maybe it's because of the stage I'm at in my life. More than anything, I want revival. I know I was joking this morning when I was talking about building an ark out there, but the Lord began to deal with me in my spirit, because that's what we are to be. An ark. An ark for people to run into. When Noah built his ark, he opened the door. The door was open. It was open. All you that want to come can come. They didn't want to because they were too busy doing their own thing. And when God shut the door and it started to rain, and not only did it start to rain, but the water began to rise. And now there's people beating on the side of the ark saying, hey, let me in. Sorry, it's too late. Church, we are living in some crazy times right now. And I'm telling you this morning as your pastor that there are times coming and the rain is beginning to fall and the water's beginning to rise. And the Bible said that in the last days there's going to be weird stuff happening. And it was going to be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when men were going to lay with men and women are going to lay with women, and all kind of craziness is going to go on. And everything that is right is going to be wrong. And everything that is wrong will be transformed to right. We're living in those days. And he said, those are the days when the Son of God will come on the clouds and the sky is going to part, the trumpet's going to blast, and the dead in Christ are going to rise up, and those that are left will be caught together with them in the air. Those days are right around the corner. My job is not to make you feel good this morning, folks, as much as I would like to. That's not my job. My job is to put a pair of spurs on and stick them in your rib cage. What does that have to do with it? The word provoke in God's Bible, the word provoke, we are to provoke one another, the Bible says. And all the more as we see the day approaching. And when you stick a set of spurs in a horse's rib cage, I promise you that dude has been provoked. And if you're not ready for the ride, you're going to be eating dust. And my job is to provoke you unto godliness. Prayer, church, we need to understand this. Prayer is not some emergency measure that we can turn to when we have a problem. I don't know the answer to this thing, so I guess I better pray. Prayer is not some 911 when the emergency arises, when you have a problem. You better have been praying long before that. You better have a relationship with Jesus Christ long before that, because real prayer is part of our constant communion with God and worship of God. That's what this is. This was come out of a simple Bible study, but it spoke to my heart and to other hearts in this room that the body needs to hear this message. If our focus is only on our request, you and I will be left with nothing if the prayer is denied. Think about that. If we focus only on the request, we will be left with nothing if the request is refused. Jesus is our example. And as our example, in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, He said this. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Isn't that amazing? Number four. Your request and mine must be for the good of God's kingdom. Now let me just go ahead and bust on myself again, and I'll leave all the rest of y'all alone. But in order for me to go hunting with Jim Shockey for moose in Alaska, that's going to cost a large sum of money. In order for me to go hunting with Michael Waddell in Idaho or Montana or Colorado or Utah, that's going to cost a lot of money. How in the world is that going to be to further the kingdom of God? Well, I can justify things and say, well, maybe I'll be able to lead them to the Lord. Except Michael Waddell's already a Christian. What will it do for our church right here? Well, I could feed you for a month. Our request must be for the good of God's kingdom. In fact, in James chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. See, there's nothing that God will not do for the person that truly believes and seeks Him. The fervent prayer of the righteous, the Bible says, is powerful and it is in fact effective. But we have to always keep in our mind the teaching of the present Scripture, because the power of prayer, because of the power of prayer, the demonic forces of hell are going to come against you. Now listen, it's been pretty good up to here, but this is where things start getting bad. Because there is a demonic realm. And that demonic realm, Jesus defeated that realm. But we have to walk in the victory of the defeat. Satan will do anything he can to keep us from praying or from continuing in prayer. He will do anything and everything that he can to stop us from receiving the answers of your prayer, from living righteously and from following the Lord. Listen, I've blown it on Saturday and tried to prepare for Sunday, and the devil will come and say, you got no business doing anything in the church because you blew it yesterday. Ever happened to you, Ron? What do? Repent. Put the enemy where he belongs. He will do anything that he can to cut the heart of God, and he does that by tripping us up and causing us to sin. He'll do anything he can to stop us from being who God's called us to be. But because the power of prayer, the demonic forces of hell will in fact oppose us. If we are true prayer warriors, every enticing temptation imaginable will be thrown across our path. Hello? Let me say that again. Every enticing temptation, if you're a prayer warrior, will be thrown across your path. Look what the enemy did to Jesus in his 40 days in the desert, in the wilderness. He offered him literally everything. The problem with that was he didn't control everything. It wasn't his to give away. I could give you riches pickup today, but to try and get it. Right? Dynamite comes in small packages. Because I don't have the authority to give riches pickup away. The enemy didn't have the authority to give all the things to Jesus that he was saying that he was going to give. Here's the other side of it. Jesus already owned it all. He already owned it all. You and I will be seduced to give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, according to 1 John chapter 2. Take a look around. Look at what is on TV. Snackwell cookie commercials. I don't know what your thoughts are about Snackwell cookies, but they're pretty good cookies. I'm not sure that they need a nearly naked girl to swim out of the ocean and crawl up the sandy beach to some man laying on a beach towel to advertise and promote a cookie. Because if she's got them with her, they're soggy. Me and Mike ate sandwiches yesterday. They were really good sandwiches, but you didn't have to chew them a lot. Because they'd spent some time in a bag on ice. They were really easy to eat, weren't they, Mike? There was something about the texture that was changed. Let me close with this. Our prayers... Where in the heck am I even? Oh, I'm way ahead of myself, aren't I? Yeah. Huh. I nearly skipped an entire page. Nearly. All right. Real prayer is part of our constant communion with God and our worship of Him. And we should not interpret Mark chapter 11, verse 24 to mean if you pray hard enough and really believe, then God is obligated to answer your prayer no matter what you ask. That's not Scripture. Prayer's not this emergency measure, as I already said. We have to have faith, the kind of faith that is in God and God alone. If I can only pray hard enough, if I can just get the right mental attitude, if I just think enough positive thoughts, Ray, it's going to happen. Can I just tell you, that kind of faith is not faith in God. That kind of faith is nothing but faith in faith or faith in feelings. True faith in God is based on His Word, and His Word reveals His will to us, and His will oftentimes is contrary to my will. And it has well been said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. He's already got heaven pretty well handled. It's us. Yeah, remember, He's our author. He's the author of our salvation. He does not need an editor. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. Sure. Hold that thought. We want everybody to hear.
On your missing page. But anyway, God not only asks us to forgive, there's a catch, a really important one. We're also told to bless them. And that helps complete forgiveness.
Yeah.
If you can bless the person who has hurt you.
Yeah.
So no, I'm sure it's on your other page, but I just wanted to make sure. I just have to say.
Hey, well, you know what? That's good. That's really good. The problem is, I want to forgive them from a long ways away, and I don't have to deal with them anymore. How am I going to do that and bless them at the same time? See, that's the crux of the whole matter. It's one thing to forgive somebody. It's another thing to walk in that forgiveness. Amen? Hang on a minute. No, talk into that.
One of the things about unforgiveness, it creates a rivalry between you and the Holy Spirit.
Well, sure.
That's a fight going on. The thing that really woke me up, besides Christ telling me I needed to forgive somebody, was the very person I hated, the things that I hated about him, I was becoming.
Yep.
Until I realized that. The power of unforgiveness is ours. Doesn't matter if the other person doesn't want to forgive you, but it's a requirement. It's not an option
right
from the Lord.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's good. You hold the power in your heart to keep somebody from getting saved in some ways. Because unforgiveness, like I already said, binds you up and it binds them up. But when we forgive them, legitimately forgive them, it releases something in the spiritual realm and it frees them up to be able to hear from God and to get saved and to rejoice and all those kinds of things. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Listen. It's not the elders, and it's not the oil. It's the Lord that does the healing. It's the Lord that does it. So does it mean then that every prayer for healing guarantees that God will heal the sick person? No. If I had the answer to that, man, listen, we have to emphasize that prayer is offered is a prayer offered in faith, not only the faith that believes that God can heal, but also the faith that expresses absolute confidence in the will of God. So a true prayer of faith will acknowledge God's sovereignty in His answer to that prayer. God is a sovereign God. He doesn't have to answer to you and I. Amen? It's not always God's will, for whatever reason, to heal those that are sick. We want Him to, but He doesn't sometimes. Our job is to pray the prayer of faith and leave the results to God. That's our job. Our prayer must be for the good and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Let me close with this. Again, I'm closing again. This is my second time. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. By the way, I'm going to encourage you to come back tonight because I'm just getting started on this idea of prayer. I could not, in five pages, I could not say all that I wanted to say. And so I'm going to finish it tonight. So you need to come back tonight. But let me just preface it by saying this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Listen, church. We cannot fight this battle in our own power. No matter how strong, no matter how smart, no matter how talented we might think we are, we cannot fight this battle in our own power. When Amalek attacked Israel, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 17, when Amalek attacked Israel, what happened? Two strategic things happened. Number one, Moses went to the mountain. Moses went to the mountain and Joshua grabbed a sword and went to battle. It took both of those elements to defeat Amalek. Moses' intercession on the mountain and Joshua's use of the sword in the valley. Listen, prayer is the power for victory. Prayer is the power for victory. Number two on my list says this, that if you hold a grudge, your prayers are hindered. We got to deal with this. Listen, I've been dealing with this for a week and a half. You just have to endure it for an hour this morning, but I hope that some seeds have been planted that will begin to come up in your life, that God's Spirit will begin to provoke you. And I started this list by saying, you must be a believer. John, Kathy, somebody want to come to the piano? Both of you, all of you, I don't care. You must be a believer. Jesus did not say, go into all the world and establish churches. He never said that. He said to get people saved. Baptize them. Get them started in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It started out by saying, you must be a believer. And now, if you're not saved, this is the time for you to get your first prayers answered. I don't know who you are, but my guess would be that more than one of us in this place has ought against a brother or a sister. My guess would be that a multitude of us maybe have issues. Maybe we've put give lip service to this idea of, well, I forgive them, but I'm never going to have anything to do with them again. That's not forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you're opening yourself up for that same person in a lot of ways to hurt you the same way. Well, that's not very popular, Pastor. Well, I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to speak truth into your life that God will be able to free you from bondage. Because I want this church to be dynamic for the things of God. I've blown it in my life in huge, big, horrible, ugly ways. But you want to know something I found out? When you blow it like I blew it, and like maybe you've blown it, in great, big, huge, ugly, ugly ways, the love of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will restore you. I know He will. You know how I know? He restored me. Was it easy? Not one step of it was easy. But I walked with Him and He restored me. If you're here today with heads bowed, eyes closed, people praying, it's a personal time. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and I'm not just talking about giving lip service. I'm not talking about, yeah, I know God. I know who He is. I'm talking about, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Is your life being lived for the glory of God? Are you living your life in such a way as to please not you, not your neighbor, not your family, but to please God? Because, church, Jesus has come that we would have life and life more abundant. And He loves us. He wants the very best for you. But it starts at the cross. It starts in a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today, you say, "Preacher, I've either never given my life to Jesus before, I've never asked for God to come into my life." Today's your day. Today He's knocking on your heart's door. And He says, "If you'll open the door and ask me in, I will come in and I will sup with you. I will have fellowship with you." That's what He said. Maybe at some point in your life, you've given lip service to this idea of salvation. "Yes, Lord, I know who You are. Come into my life." But you never changed. You just had a form of godliness, but denied the power of it. Listen, I think today's your day. I think today's your day. I think today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That word rejoice, it literally means to spin violently before the Lord. And if you're bound up, if you've got chains of bondage on you, you cannot spin violently. You can't spin around because you can only go so far and then you're stopped. You can't rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I can't tell who's on the internet, and I can't tell what you're dealing with in your life, but I know this. If you'll pray the prayer of faith, if you'll ask God to come into your life, He'll come into your life just as real in your room, in your living room, or as in this church. Today, if you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord," or "I give lip service, but I really never followed through. I really never let You be the Lord of my life." If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you today. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus." Maybe you've given your life to the Lord at some point, and maybe some tragic event happened and you got mad at God. You turned your back on Him. But you realize without God, you'll never make heaven your home. There is a real place called hell, folks. It's real. And you'll either choose to make heaven your home, or by default, you choose hell. Jesus said, "I'm not willing that any would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ." And I'm asking you today, if anything has hindered that today and you want to get it taken care of, I want you to put your hand up. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you right now. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me." Well, Father God, I've said all that you've asked me to say. I've done all that you've asked me to do. I pray, God, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would seal this word in our heart and in our remembrance. And I pray, God, that every person in the sound of my voice today, God, that your Holy Spirit would provoke us in our spirit and bring this topic back up. God, that we would be reminded of who we are in you. Father, if any one of us in this place today have aught against a brother or a sister, that God would deal with that. That we would get it taken care of. No, it probably won't be easy. But the blessings of God will far outweigh the pain in our life. Now, I thank you for all these things today, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you to be back here tonight at 6. We're going to continue talking about prayer and the different types of prayer. So be here. 6 o'clock. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your day.